to get on the bus to make a 2 o'clock flight. I can assure you I won't take the full time. Our topic was education and dissemination of the information, and an additional subtopic, database management. We identified target populations as being the post-polio patient, treating physicians, rehabilitation centers, polio clinics. Then we went into the topics of material that's potentially available at the moment, and certainly the proceedings of this meeting, but there's no point in reporting on that, as the committee is making the arrangements for publication and distribution of that, so there's no need for recommendations there. In addition, Jeannie is working on a physician's handbook on late effects of poliomyelitis, and the manuscript is in its final draft, and that will be distributed through their institute. Then, recommendations for material that should be considered. A patient information pamphlet. However, this morning, Ms. Laurie informed me that that physician's handbook is to serve as a patient's information booklet. But in addition to that, we thought that it would be wise somehow to distribute to patients a standardized history and physical examination form, and that they could take to their physicians, and that the physicians would ultimately send back to a database management system. If we send it to the physicians, it is not going to work, because it's going to get filed in a drawer and they will never remember it when the patient comes in. If you send it to the patient will hand deliver it to the physician at an appropriate time, and then you increase your probability of getting it back. If that's considered, obviously we have to have the address of the database management location on the form and a release of information statement for the patients to sign so that it can be sent back to the database. Other actions needed, and this is probably the one that received the most discussion and the most emotional response, and that's increase in local peer support groups. This is an urgent need, and in order for these to be effective, they will require political and social support as well as medical and psychosocial assistance. Local and regional seminars should also be considered to target population, with the target population, the public, and of course seminars for professionals. Our committee did not have time to get into the subject of database management other than the recommendation for this standardized history and physical form, and that obviously could not be the type of form that's been mentioned either from the clinical group or the research, clinical research group or the basic research group. It would have to be one that could be completed by the private physician just out of medical school, who has probably never heard of polio other than the fact that it's a five-letter word.
We have some time for response, additions. Walter?
Concerning getting on to our annual programs, at least a half day of this overall problem, that will help generally the publicity.
We also suggested that items such as news briefs should be sent to journals like JAMA, Archives of PM&R, Archives of Neurology, and the state medical journals, because a lot of physicians belong to state groups, but not the AMA.
The concern about proposals like that is who will follow through. And I
think that would have to be an assignment from the steering committee for the program here.
I think the identification of what we're talking about is extremely important, and it's important in all levels of communication. I feel in listening to what's been going on in the last 2 days that we're really dealing with something that is not an entity. And late effects suggest that it's the effect of something acting on something. My feeling is that what we have, what we can consider as a focus, is what the patient brings to us, which is complaints. Now, it may not sound good, but I think post-polio complaints are what I've been listening to. Leave it there.
Herbis in Philadelphia. I'm commenting on the last topic that was presented rather than the present one. I think that it's not a good idea to equate endurance with fatigue. I think the two phenomena should be separated and reported differently. endurance is something that is reflected in individuals going out and jogging and performing that type of activity, while muscle fatigue is a phenomenon that happens over a fairly brief period of time with repetition of a motion, something like progressive resistive exercises with a weight. It's very similar to what Barbara de la Torre studied. She actually studied muscle fatigue, not endurance. And I think both of those have to be handled in a different fashion. I have a hunch, looking at work done in the past, that probably muscle fatigue in itself, the kind that Dick Owens prescribes for his patients, probably would not cause any evidence of muscle damage. On the other hand, an endurance type of activity, one that would involve mountain climbing, mountaineering, and that sort of thing, which definitely entails an endurance component to the physical activity, might indeed cause muscle damage. So I would not encourage anybody to equate those two terms.
Nancy Frick, New York City. To more fully clarify the point concerning the urgent need for post-polio support groups, my experience in talking to the post-polios that I have had a chance to be in touch with is that grassroots groups need to be established around the country for several reasons. One of them is the obvious one of peer group interaction, because as Dr. Owens mentioned earlier, there's a feeling of acute loneliness and perhaps abandonment when you think you're having problems that no one else is having, especially if you find that your doctor doesn't know much about them either. But that's not the only salubrious effect of support groups. As Dr. Taylor suggested, they could have psychological components, psychosocial components, and they should ideally involve the post-polios themselves. And I was thinking that this question that you were raising about the physical and history could be done through the post-polio networks. If you send it to the people themselves, and they're interested enough to be members of support groups, they're going to do something with the reports as well.
I might add that you received a little handout from Diane Oglesby, who is the coordinator of a support group over in our area. And if any of your people would like to learn how to start a support group and develop it, you might contact her directly. Her name and address is included in a handout that you have.
I'm Richard Owen from Minneapolis. I want to first say that I think fatigue can be a fatigue of the spirit or the body, and to ignore that and use the term only as it relates to muscle twitches as an error, particularly if we're going to use such things as polio complaint process. I would like to, however, cast my vote from the state of Minnesota for progressive polio.
Triple PMA.
Because I feel that our big mistake is that we're actually talking about one syndrome that's a rare, one constellation that is a rare aspect of polio. And if we don't address that as a separate issue, we're going to confuse the issue when we talk about polio weakness, because my patients who have gotten all stronger on the basis of a batch of wild exercises that have primarily to do with muscle learning were weak. And that's a complaint, not a, it's not my complaint, it's theirs.
What he didn't tell you was that they serve ginseng tea between therapy sessions.
This is precisely the point. I think it will be a mistake to ignore the first group of complaints that the patients have. Absolutely. I think we should make a distinction. The patients with old polio develop several problems. One is a group of symptoms which are musculoskeletal, and the other is whatever you want to call it, PPMA or whatever, which is a new motor neuron disease. I mean, it's just...
I'm Jenny Laurie of St. Louis. The Rehabilitation Gazette has been the glue that has held the polios of the world together for 25 years, and our new networking institute will volunteer to reach the polios of the world again and help in any way we can to help with support groups or all the organizations of the disabled.
Thank you, Jenny. We have one last report. And that group met and talked about future collaborative studies. Dr. McKinstry?
We divided into two groups. We had the ones that we knew of from our group that were planned already or in some stage of planning, and then we identified a few needs. And then I will have a good bit of time, so be thinking about needs that you would like to add to our list.
the Mayo Clinic group and the Manitoba group are going to do a combined epidemiological study of the years, of the epidemic years, and do comparison also at the same time of the rural and urban type of population with polio. Dr. Anderson in Sweden and Dr. Halstead are talking about reviewing 75 polio cases in between the ages of 40 and 65 in a study that will be done between the two of them. Some needs that were identified. We identified, we felt there need to be some collaborative studies to standardize polio protocols throughout the countries. Also included in that would be standard measurements and clinical evaluations. Denmark is very interested in doing a collaborative study with someone as far as the functional and social studies in polio patients, and Dr. Larson would be glad to talk to anyone about that. Sweden would like to do a collaborative study comparing their EMG patterns with other people that are doing EMG patterns. The group recommended regional meetings, which have already been meeting, particularly of patients and physicians and families that are being treated with polio. I had one suggestion, and I would like to have anyone that would be interested. Recently, this past year, there were over 100 cases in an acute epidemic of polio reported on the Mexican-U.S. border. So maybe now is the point for somebody to start in with fresh polio and with our sophisticated type of diagnostic procedures and follow-ups that we have now, that someone would be willing to study those. We have a representative of rehabilitation from Mexico, and he may want to say a few words.
First, I'd like to thank the Roosevelt Warm Springs Institute for inviting us to attend, and on behalf of Dr. Leobardo Ruiz, who is the director of the National System for the Integrated Development of the Family, Dr. Gabio Rios and I attended this meeting, which was very fruitful for us, very profitable. I did dislike the way David treated me this morning. I had a question to ask Dr. Owen, but I thought maybe David was against affirmative action. But we do want to take active part in the continuation of this dialogue that you've started these last 2 days, and we want to contribute what we can to the total information for this group. Now, I'd like to take just a few seconds to stress the point that I was going to ask Dr. Oren, and that's the psychological problems of the individuals who were involved in his survey. I don't want an answer now. I'll talk to him myself. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Taylor had a comment.
While I was ruminating on it, while the last report was being presented, I think that Dr. Bodian had an extremely significant point there that we have to go back and consider. All of the terms that we have suggested imply that the problem is due to polio, and that certainly is not the case, and that's not the point that we're trying to get across. The problems we're dealing with is what happens to the patient who has had polio, and I think that we need something to distinguish between these two things as far as the term that we're using. We're not implying reactivation of old polio. We're implying problems or complications of the patient with weakness. One possibility would be to say something along the lines of late problems of the post-polio patient. That's certainly more complicated than what you're going to need, but I think that you're going to have to go that direction with a title that will be accepted.
Thank you. We really have only 3 minutes if we're going to stop at 11:30, and I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to make a few concluding remarks, and perhaps David would have a few also. The first is that this conference had its beginning 18 months ago in my office in Houston when I invited David to come and give me a consultation. I was just aware that I was beginning to experience something that I did not have a name for, Apparently, I still do not have a name for it. And maybe I never will. In any event, since I knew he had published in the literature on some problems associated with late polio, I put together a list of about 18 questions having to do with the various problems I had and what I could do to alleviate and possibly cure them. And I felt that this was probably an issue that had been dealt with at some length, and that all I would need would be a 30-minute session in my office, and we could clarify everything, and I could go on about my business. Well, it was at that point that David very frankly admitted that he did not really know all that much. And he said, the thing we need to do is start studying this problem. So I want to acknowledge publicly his role in the germination of this process, because that's where it began. It got abetted by the marvelous program at St. Louis a year ago, sponsored by Jeannie Laurie and her group. I think what's happened for myself personally is that I've gone from a period of somewhat of despair when I discovered that there was essentially nothing in the medical literature concerning this whole issue to a period of elation, which has culminated over the past 2.5 days, to discover that there is, in fact, out there, not only in this country, but in many other countries around the world, a large number of highly intelligent, highly dedicated individuals who are concerned about the issues we've been discussing and who have begun to make important strides. In addition, there are a number of other persons with a high degree of expertise who perhaps have not worked directly in this area, but were willing to come and participate and share their knowledge with us, so that in fact it truly was a multidisciplinary meeting. Finally, I'm looking forward to culling together the manuscripts and some of the remarks that were made this morning in a published manner, so that there is a preserved archive, that there is a preserved document of what took place that we may share with colleagues who are not here. Finally, although Mr. Moran is not here, I do want to express my appreciation to him for the faith he had in us when we came to him with what was then just a germ of an idea, for the continued support of himself and his staff, Marge Smith, who has just walked in over here, her dedication and assistance that made this conference possible. Again, a thanks to the persons who made a financial contribution, particularly the Warm Springs Foundation, the RGK Foundation. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you for your generous, informative, provocative, and stimulating participation. I wish you all a safe journey home and hope to see many of you again, perhaps here, next year. David?
I want to say something.
I'll let you finish. I couldn't say anything further after that statement. Thank you, Laurel.
I would like to welcome you all to come back anytime. It's been wonderful having you here, and as a physician who is clinically seeing polio for the first time now, this conference has helped me a great deal in knowing better how to do things for the polio patients. The big thing I think it's going to do is help me to answer the piles and piles of correspondence from polio patients we get concerning different questions, which you have helped me answer here. I do think we should give a round of applause to David and Laura, who planned this program, and we sure appreciate their work.
This session is now concluded.